UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. Our guest tonight is Owen from Pennsylvania, with an experience he had with a friend of his that involved a phantom car that left him shaken and confused and unable to account for about 2.5 hours, and other strange incidents including being followed by orbs and some of his mother's own encounters. And if you've had an experience you would like to share on the podcast, you can either email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or on the contact page of my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. And while you're on the website, you can check out our past shows, our podcast merchandise, and the monthly competition. And you can also stay connected with me via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Owen.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you with us today. Now, you come to us from Philadelphia in Pennsylvania.
Yep, that's correct.
And you're going to be sharing various UFO sightings and encounters and some paranormal experiences?
Yeah, some genuine weird stuff.
That's what we like on this show. Would you like to start with your experience in New Jersey when you were 17, please, Owen?
Sure, yeah. So me and some friends were hanging out at one of our friends' house. It's probably about, I think it was me, my brother, and two other kids, just like hanging out, watching TV. Decided to go to this pool hall, just shoot some pool for a couple hours around. I guess we went there around 9, and I hung out for a little bit, played some pool, you know, ate hot dogs. And it was around 10:30, I guess. We were like, we should probably head back because we had 11 o'clock curfew. So we crossed the highway. It's like the two-lane highway on both sides with the median separating the two sides. We crossed over and went to a pharmacy to get something. You know, I think we were trying to get like cigars or like something if we could find them. But anyway. So we get our stuff, we leave. It was night. It was like, you know, it was dark. Couldn't see too far, but we could see if there were any cars coming. It was a flat road, you know, it was bright enough to see if there were any cars coming. So my brother and two other guys start crossing the highway, and they get across the median, and they hop over, and they run, and they get across the other side of the road. And me and my friend Nick were crossing last. He starts walking first. I follow behind him. Still no cars coming, you know, couldn't see a single car on the road. So he hops over the, you know, the cement median that separates the two sides of the highway. He hops over, and as he's walking into the lane, which has a shoulder, I should say, it's like a 2.5 to 3 foot shoulder on the side of the road. And then there was the lane, the left lane. So he starts stepping into the shoulder and then into the middle of the first lane, which is, I guess maybe like eight feet away or six to eight feet away. At this point, I'm up against the median about to hop over. And all of a sudden, a car appears like inches from him. Headlights of a car appear inches from him. And my first thought was, he's going to die. As soon as the second that this car appears, he is leaping without running or walking. He's leaping towards me over the median. You know, I followed him with my eyes as he jumped 6.5 or 6 feet and 3 feet high over this median. And then as soon as I looked back, the car was gone. And I would say the most interesting part about this experience is that there was no sound, there was no screeching tires, there was no yelling, there was nothing, no ambient sound of the night. It was just like, just silence just appears, and then this happens, and then we were all kind of just like left in a daze. You know, he got up really quick. You know, after I looked back, he was getting up, and you know, we were hopping over the median together, and then you know, we crossed the highway and met up with our friends. And you know, it was just in a matter of, I would say, 5 seconds that this happened, and we were walking back across the road. And you know, we were shooken up. You know, my friend was kind of in a daze. You know, he was kind of just like, what happened? You know, wasn't sure what happened. And then maybe like a minute or two, we're walking, and car pulls up, and it's my friend Nick's mom, and she's, you know, super upset. We didn't make it home for our 11 o'clock curfew. She was driving around looking for us for like an hour or something. And we were like, what? We just started heading back. It was 10:30. Like, where did that time go? And his parents kind of just like played it off and like we were, you know, just out doing stuff, not coming home. And they didn't really buy into that missing time thing all that much, which just kind of bummed me out at the time. I was like, we wouldn't stay out for two hours past our curfew, you know? So we got back and, you know, I went home and I didn't tell my parents about it right away because it was, you know, it was weird. And I wasn't sure if it would sound like, you know, just an excuse, you know, a bad one, a wild excuse. But, yeah, and then as time went by, you know, we didn't talk about it. But I did tell my parents about it maybe like a month or two after it happened. And my mom was particularly interested. She was like, that doesn't sound right. She's like, you know, like, I know you don't tell stories, you know, that you don't just make stuff up, even if you are getting in trouble. And she started telling me, you know, I had heard little snippets of the things that she experienced when she was younger, but not a whole lot until around this time she started sharing with me some of the stuff that happened to her. But yeah, she was saying that. So I'll just quickly tell, you know, the story of stuff that my mom's been through. When she was a child, she was probably like 9 or 10, she saw this man just appear. She was staring out of her screen door on her porch, and a man just appeared in front of her wearing, you know, all black, you know, with like a hat. And she turned around to like look to her parents. And when she looked back, he was gone. And then when she was in her mid-20s, around the time she was, my dad was playing in a band, and she would go see him play. And that was around the time that they became friends and were talking. And she was driving home. It was probably like 1:30, 2 in the morning. And she saw this bright star in the sky. And when it caught her eye, she became like transfixed on it. She could not look away. I mean, she could keep the car on the road, but she, you know, her eye was on that star. And then she said, you know, a matter of a second, the star was in the field next to her. And she said it was the brightest thing she's ever seen. It just like swallowed her up. And, you know, she remembers stopping her car and staring at it. And then waking up in her car, and it's like 4 in the morning. And just on the side of the road. Yeah. So that was one of the things that happened to her. You know, she's had multiple experiences where she's seen lights in the sky and then woken up a couple hours later in her car or, you know, in her bed, which is really weird when you're driving and then you wake up in your bed. I can't imagine that. That's scary. You know, over the years of things happening to her, she started going to these meetings that she was seeing, you know, happening in the Philly area and stuff, and just talking to people about, you know, their similar experiences and kind of getting to know the people. And she became a part of a really good group in the Philly area, is hosted by Dave Jacobs. So she got to be friends with him and just met all these different people and had all these different scenarios on how these things play out and what's really happening, and a lot of different points of view on the intent of their experiences of the people that, you know, the beings that took them. She described to me how there's different styles of abduction. You know, that's kind of a weird way to put it, but yeah, there's different types. Like there could be, you know, a diversion thing where they create something that isn't real happening to you in order to take you, you know, as you're crossing the street or doing anything where you can't really rationalize why you were in the middle of moving and then you wake up, you know. So maybe that's a type of diversion tactic that, you know, whoever took me used to just splice time. Who knows? She had some other stuff happen to her, I guess it's like throughout the 90s, where she would wake up with puncture wounds and parts of her that were swollen for no reason, and, you know, started to do regression, and said she remembers being on a ship. She said it's very blurry. She said doing regression, it's like you're feeling in the dark, you know, with your hands, just kind of like getting impressions and getting as much of a picture as you can get out of your memory that either has been wiped or you just, you know, choose to forget. It kind of broke down for me what that experience might have been. To this day, I still don't know. I know my friends don't like to talk about it. They don't like to talk about it, especially the one that almost got hit by the car, like fake car or whatever. He just kind of was like, yeah, that was weird.
Sounds like some kind of maybe like a time slip or something.
Yeah. At first it was only scary because for a split second I thought my friend was going to get hit by that car. And then it was just like, you're not really upset. You're just kind of confused. And because nothing feels wrong. And it's like, it's almost like, and it's, if a car had actually almost hit him, sped off, we would have been like super upset about it. And like, been like, you know, are you all right? You know, and like just making sure he's okay. And that was almost really bad. And for some reason, as soon as it was done happening, we were all just like, let's keep walking. Really strange. But I actually started having, waking up with these two little puncture wounds on my knuckles, on my left hand and on my right hand on them. Like two on the first knuckle of my index finger, the top where it meets my hand, two on that, and then two on my knuckle of my left thumb. And then I get one, two on my right knuckle on my right thumb. And I remember like my mom would call me up and she'd be like, oh, and she'd call me up in the morning and, you know, wake me up so I didn't, you know, get a chance to look. And she would say, look on your hands and tell me if you have any puncture marks. And I'd wake up and I'd look at my hands and I would be like, yeah, and I would tell her where they were, and she would say, I have the same exact ones. And I would go over, and she would show me, and I would show her mine, and we'd be like, what is going on? But that went on for a few years. And nothing's really happened to me since that. You know, I've seen things in the sky, being on tour with my band, just driving late at night, and just, you know, I remember being in Colorado at night and seeing like this orb above, floating like just around the top of the peak of the mountains. And I was just looked at it for like a second, and I was just kind of looking at it, and then I looked back at it, and it was still there, but then it just like zipped into the sky. And I've seen a couple of those, like, just, you know, you notice something, and then it's just like, just gone. I've had some ghostly stuff happen after that. I think those are some of the worst, because that stuff happens, you know, you remember that stuff. You're not, you know, unconscious while these things are taking place. You know, you're seeing things fly around and lights turn on and off and hear footsteps. And like this house I lived in when I was 22, you know, the last house I lived in with my family all together, we got a good deal on this like big Victorian house in, you know, not a nice town, but nice enough town in South Jersey. And, you know, we always lived in a small house. So my parents were like, all right, let's get a big house. And as soon as we got into the house, the people that lived there were like still moving out. And we're like, what is going on? You know, as the process of us moving in and then moving out, you know, we get to talking about, you know, the house and, you know, it's how old it is and stuff. And he's like, you know, I should mention that there's a ghost in this house. And we're like, oh, great. That's what you want to hear the first day of moving in. And he's like, you know, I really wanted to tell you because things have happened that, you know, were pretty weird and kind of scary. So he told us that he lived in the house and his father lived there. And his father was getting old. When he was sleeping at night, this ghost would appear. Well, it wouldn't appear to him, but it would be in the room and it would ask for his father. And, you know, I just told him some other stuff. And we're like, oh, that's great. Can't wait. Over the months, things just started feeling really strange. Like they felt like when you move into a new house, there's a little bit of, you know, nervousness because it's a new environment. It's a place you're not really used to. And, you know, it's not home yet. We started feeling, you know, like home. We were really liking the house. And it was good to have a backyard. You know, we had a dog. And I remember just in a matter of months, it just started feeling strange. Like something's watching you. You just, you know, you can feel when someone walks in the room, even if you can't hear them. And you would feel that, but it was like someone was in the room that doesn't want you there and just doesn't approve of you being there. We lived there for about 3 years and it just got weirder. I actually, when I was younger, I would always ask for the attic room. So it's like, you know, usually have a pretty big room. That's kind of, you know, at the top of the house, you can make some noise or whatever. Every kid wants the attic or the basement. But I started to regret that because every night that I would go to sleep for the last 3 or 4 months that we lived there, something would grab my foot as I'm about to fall asleep at night. And I would wait for it, and it would happen. And it got more and more grabby. At first, it was just like a touch, and then it gradually became like a grab, like you could feel it squeeze. And I would just pop up. And in most cases, I would look at the clock and it would be between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. And at that point, I was aware of, you know, the witching hour. I was like, I need to get out of here. And then eventually we sold the house, moved out, but it was just like, really eerie presence. My mom said she had a friend to stay over from college days, and she lived in Miami. And she didn't tell her about the house. The first night that she was sleeping there, she was sleeping on our pull-out couch in our living space downstairs on the first floor. And she said she woke up to this pressure on top of her, this like heat, just like pressing down on her, like just a horrible feeling presence just pushing down on her. And she like couldn't breathe. And then she started praying, and she started, you know, trying to get her to snap out of it, or to just like to get it to stop. And then eventually, I guess she got out of it, or she fell asleep, and then told my mom about it the next day. And my mom was like, yeah, there's, I should have said something, but I didn't want to scare you. But there's some weird things that happen here. You know, there's dishes smashing for no reason. Actually, there was this picture in the house when we moved in of the original family, I guess. I would assume it was the original family that lived in the house in, like, 1824. And they were just, you could see on their faces, they were either they are really miserable, just really, I don't know, not very joyous, you know. Either that, or they just have been posing for a photo for 6 hours because it's 1824 and it has to, you know, the exposure has to go for a long time. It always creeped me out. So when all this stuff started happening, I decided to put the picture in the shed out back. When I put it in the shed, I put it on top of this bench that we had in there, and then closed the door and locked it up. Maybe like, I don't know, a couple months later, I'm taking the mower out of the shed because it's time to mow the lawn. It's, you know, spring. And the picture is not on the desk anymore. It's on the floor in front of the door. When I open it, it's just laying there in front of the door. That was weird. It's funny thinking about this, you know, this house and all the stuff that went on. It's kind of funny that I managed to stay so upbeat about it at the time. Looking back, I'd be like, I'm going to go live at a friend's house or something.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how you even slept at all, you know, waiting for that thing to grab you on the feet.
Yeah, and I mean, at the time, I was, you know, I was in my early 20s, so I was drinking and stuff, and I was coming home and being able to sleep most nights because I'm, you know, super beat for being out. So, considering I did get pretty good sleep most of the time, when that started happening, it was pretty much no more sleep. If I do, it's like, it's just, you know, passed out from terror.
Yeah, even though an attic space can be cool when you're a teenager, you know, sometimes there could be some dark things loitering around up there.
Yeah, and this room had a door that went into another half of the attic that was unfinished. And there was like this, I guess it was like a meat smoker chimney. And it had, you know, there's a door on it. You open it up and there's just like hooks hanging. I'm just like, wow.
It's creepy enough.
It didn't get any creepier.
And it was a Victorian house. It was an old Victorian house.
Yeah. And it's funny, at the time we're like, how did you guys get a deal on this house? You know? And we found out why. But actually, when we sold the house, my mom was in real estate for many years, and she's not anymore, but to this day, she always likes to check on houses that we lived in and see if it's on the market and, you know, stuff like that. And she kind of, I guess through selling the house, she kind of got to know the people that bought a little bit. So she reached out to them like 4 years or 3 years after this happened, 3 or 4 years after this happened, after we moved out. She was looking online and she's like, oh, it's for sale. Huh. Because they bought it up to restore it to like, you know, local historical code and all that stuff. She's like, oh, let me shoot an email and just ask them what's going on, why they're selling it. And they were like, we have to sell this house. We need to get out of this house. This house is haunted. Crazy stuff is happening. So, and she didn't tell them about the ghosts. I mean, I honestly think that it should be law. No, but it's not.
I mean, having lived in haunted houses in the past, I probably wouldn't buy a house that was haunted. I don't mind going to places, but, you know, it's, you know, having to look over your shoulder every 5 minutes.
It's bad enough not knowing if there's something there. But like when you actually know that feeling that you're feeling is there because there is a ghost there, or whatever it is there.
You're just sat watching TV and something is watching you from the darkest corner of the room.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, something's watching me, as usual. I mean, I think that feeling happens to everybody. And I mean, who knows if that's like, you know, a past relative or friend that's just like trying to reach you. And, you know, all they can really, because I feel like, I don't know, you know, I don't really have theories on or what I fully believe about, you know, ghosts and what they might be or how they come to be. But I feel like something that is more attached to the house than you is usually more, I don't know, vocal in their trying to get your attention. But I feel like someone that loves you would do something more gracious or gentle.
Yeah, sure.
Like just being a presence.
Especially if you lived in the house and you built it, you know, you had all some great memories there, and then you pass, and then someone moves in, they're changing stuff, you know, they're being noisy. I don't know. It would probably annoy me.
Yeah. Actually, have you seen that movie, what is it, A Ghost Story with Casey Affleck?
No, I've not seen that.
It's awesome. He actually has a sheet with eye holes, like you know, a ghost Halloween costume. And the way that the fabric is draped is really amazing. And it's a really moving movie.
And he's a ghost, is he?
Yeah. I don't want to give away any plot. I'm not a big fan of spoilers. So if anybody hasn't seen it, you should watch it. And it's actually kind of funny. There's like, there's a funny moment, and it's really cool. Really cool movie.
And that's Casey Affleck and that's Ghost Story.
Yeah. I think it's called A Ghost Story. I think it's A Ghost Story.
Great stuff. Going back to your mother, do you think this is probably a connection between herself and what you've experienced?
I do. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I think there's theories and there's possible reasons for that being, you know, they'll take a mother and a son or a mother and a daughter, but based on, you know, who knows if it goes back generations and generations. At the very least, my mom and I are on a list somewhere that's like, all right, you can keep experimenting on these people if you want. Yeah, I definitely think it's connected. I don't know if there's some type of, you start to have these wild imaginations, the possible scenarios of what's actually going on. You know, you wonder if, are you part of some genetic, I don't know, modification or, you know, trying to make a hybrid species, you know, or just making duplicates of me. I don't know why they'd want another me.
I mean, the whole abduction thing is very complex, and I don't think there's one thing doing the abductions. I think it's many different things, groups maybe.
True, different styles.
Yeah, there seems to be definitely a couple of things going on in tandem. You know, whether it's directly aliens or it's the military. You know,
I forget where I heard this, but someone was saying extraterrestrials working with the government. The government offered them, they needed like some type of incentive, you know, why would we give you any intelligence, you know, or, you know, whatever they asked for in return, was just to be able to abduct people, you know, without any military or, you know, governmental interference. You know, can we take people at will? And maybe they were like, sure. And, you know, sure, go for it. So who knows?
Who knows, indeed. I mean, there just seem to be like a generation of people which generally have this happen to them. So yeah, and there's generally a military connection somehow, usually a parent or a grandparent.
I guess they have to have the same DNA if they want to have a generation of people. They want to have the mother and offspring.
Yes, that's usually the way it is, yeah.
It's definitely something that you never forget and you never really get through. You never kind of been like, oh, I feel pretty good about that stuff that happened to me. I can move on. It's just because there's no reason. You know, things that happen to you in your life that are traumatic, you know, it may take a long time to get past them, but you know why you're upset and you come to terms with what happened to you because you understand what happened to you. But when something that you can't explain, you can't understand happens to you, you kind of just are always wondering, what does it mean? And hopefully it doesn't continue to happen. Maybe my awareness of my experience made them a little more discreet. Because I do believe that aliens aren't, I mean, I know there's several kinds, but that they're generally their kind and intelligent. It might have been from a guest on your, it was from a guest on your show talking about how the reptilians are, I forget her name. She was brilliant. She was saying the reptilians are actually really intelligent and really sensitive. And despite, you know, their appearance, you know, people generally afraid of something when they see that, but that doesn't mean that it's not a gentle creature. And she wrote books. I forget who the guest was, but
Nancy Tremaine.
Yeah, Nancy Tremaine. That's right. Yeah, she was phenomenal. But yeah, and I think during traumatic, sloppy abductions, people have been left with really horrifying memories. And I think maybe some people's experiences being more gentle and being more, once they get an understanding of what, because fear is the first thing that comes to our mind is fear. And when you get past the fear and you look into like the reasoning behind what happened and the actual interaction might not have been that scary. Yeah, like what Travis was saying. Like I said, some might not be that kind or be that gentle with you when abducting you. And those are the experiences that I guess you're having with possibly a different species of alien. I actually had a theory that, I don't know if this has probably been said many times, but the aliens that come, most people have had experiences with are species of either human or humanoid that have been on this planet for many, many years. And they're coming back in time to study us. Almost like if we could travel back in time to study, you know, people or animals, they're kind of doing that and trying, or maybe even trying to steer, you know, our evolution or steer, you know, the way that we destroy our planet so that it can survive or, you know, who knows, but they're not doing a very good job right now. I should say that.
Yeah. They definitely need to, step up the game a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to get political and I'm not going to, but I just, it brings to mind things that could be different right now.
The saying is, things have got to get worse before they can get better.
Yeah. That's about everything that's happened. I would say that's probably a fair amount of stuff. Yeah.
Well, Owen, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your encounters.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's amazing to be on the show because I discovered it kind of recently and, you know, I'm obsessed. And you're only getting, the guests you're getting are getting better and better and better. And it's just like, you're on that cusp. You're like, it's huge and it's going to be huge. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks for that. But
you're welcome.
I want people to be honest and and tell us what has really happened. You know, people don't need to embellish which I think is important.
Well, that's the reason I like it, because it's, you know, it's just everyday people.
All right then, Owen, that's great talking to you, man.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
That is all for today. Thank you to our guest, Owen, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week with Dale and his near-death experience. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.